One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And it's just the two of us in this episode. And I have a question for you, Jen, which is, how is your book writing going?
My God, how can you even ask that? It's so boring to talk about. I am the most fucking boring person. I'm getting into that weird shut-in time of the book writing. And like, I just hear myself talking about it and I just feel like I'm in a weird loop. Like I feel so boring. I feel so sad. It's like on my mind all the time. It's like finals week all the time. I feel like I just, you know, it's just never going to end. I'm in that part of it where I feel like it's never going to end. I just reached 40,000 words this morning.
But wait a minute, even if you're shitting out 400 words, which we've talked about, you know, like that, the necessity of like just spewing at the beginning, that's still a fuck of a lot of words.
It's 40,000. It is a fuck lot of words. I'm just sad, but I'm sad about a lot of things. But anyway, the book writing is going whatever. I don't know. Like, you know, I'm starting to look at my relationship with ambition and work. And one thing that's happening is because I have to be so self-directed and there's no, you know, there's nobody coming in and saying, okay, you're going to do this by this time and this by this time. I don't know if you feel like this, but sometimes I'll waste an hour of my life trying to decide what to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like, I'll just be like, the sink is dirty. I should pay those bills. Oh, should I try to grab some writing time? Oh, I really need to look at blank. And it's just the hour goes. And it's not even that I'm fucking around on social media, which is certainly a thing I do. But it's just like, I'm telling you, it's the hormones. It's my body. I'm just a mess. I cannot keep myself directed. But I was thinking this morning about my relationship with work and ambition, because obviously that's all I fucking think about. I was thinking about that I need it, that I need work, that sort of that I need the fulfillment of work, the joy from work, the drive of work, the satisfaction of having work done, which is part of what this problem mm-hmm. is right now, is that the work is just not, it's never, it's just an unending process of with no satisfaction until
yet,
it's done.
Yet.
Until it's done. But anyway, that's how the book's writing's going. But I'm also in that place where I'm self-isolating because when you're in a big creative project, you're just fucking weird. You're just weird. Everything becomes like a weird magnet to your project. Like the other day I was making connections to both what we're going to talk about later, the First Wives Club, and also like the text on the back of like my kids' snacks. Like I was like, oh, they're both relevant to my book.
But that's good. That's a good way to think. That's like an open and examining and exploring way to think. What's wrong with that?
It is, but it's just you start to lose perspective when you're this myopic, I think. And you start to like, you know, you're just sad. So anyway, that's how the book's going. And oh, God, sorry I even said that.
That's okay. Here's another thing. There's a podcast my boyfriend listens to. And at the beginning of each episode, one of the guys gives the other guy a would you rather. And their would you rathers are so good that it's really made me want to do it on our episode. So I'm going to ask you this. Maybe we'll cut it out because it's kind of gross.
Okay.
But would you rather, this is one of theirs. I didn't make this up.
Okay.
Would you rather have to walk around for a year just spouting lines from Austin Powers and not be able to explain to anybody why you were doing it? Or shit out of your mouth once a day.
Would I only be able to say Austin Powers things, or could I also say other things?
Only Austin Powers things. It's like all, hey, baby, and stuff.
I'd rather shit out my mouth. I'd rather have one shit out of my mouth a day.
Me too. Me too. The guy on the podcast was like, maybe it tastes good.
Oh my God. Before we had a kid, my husband and I, because you know, before you have a kid, it's like, what could it be? Who knows? It's just a magic thing that comes in the world and you shape it and it just wears whatever you want it to wear, whatever. It's like a personal art project. And we were like, what if we only showed this kid Swingers and they just were, they just said Swingers lines, like all their language was just Swingers lines. Like the first, like, wouldn't that be so cool? Which obviously not.
Oh my God.
You are in a good mood and you're cheering me up. I am fucking cranky, man. Well, I'm just cranky. Like old.
You're cranky because you're writing a book and nobody, I mean, who is it who we had on the show who said they loved writing? Ashley Ford.
And she's Kimberly like, Harrington. Two and Kimberly people.
Writing to me, unless I'm writing something that's one or two paragraphs long, like that's kind of fun. That's like a little pop song, in and out. If I've got to write anything longer, it's just dread and doom. It's never fun to write.
But why? It's such a fucking privilege to be able to get paid to create something. And I keep having this feeling of like, well, I am so lucky. This is, why am I squandering this? Why am I not feeling more gratitude that I am getting paid to be a creative person?
But I've actually been reading a book by somebody who's coming on our podcast to talk about work. And she talks a lot about, and we'll talk about it then, but just so much about negative self-talk. And so much about not looking at things from a perspective like that.
Yeah.
And it always feels kind of fake to me when I try to not negative self-talk about something I'm really feeling negative about. But I do think it's like that thing I say sometimes where you just have to put yourself on manual.
Right. And what does that look like, do you think?
Well, short of being born one of those people who thinks they're better than they are, it's very hard. I think it's very hard. But I do think that you're a person who walks through life with a fair amount of gratitude. And I think you are probably somebody who's grateful for the fact that she lives her life, that she gets to make a living doing something that's creative.
Right. Right. No.
And it's just writing is fucking hard, no matter how good you get at it. And you're very, very good at it. It's always hard. And you cannot underestimate like the extent to which it's lonely. You know, like I'm always happy when someone's in the room with me, just like while I'm writing.
That is true. That is true. And isolation is such a big Isolation is just such a contributor to depression. It's just, mm-hmm. it's just that feeling. 'Cause then you start losing perspective, and then you start spiraling and things become bigger than they are in reality. And you just can't find your way in. You just can't find your way into a sense of joyfulness, because you're just like in these labyrinths, you know?
You're in these labyrinths. And sometimes when you're depressed, and, you know, I speak just for myself, but there were times when I was depressed and I knew I was isolating, but the incredible weight of having to try to interact with other people was just too much for me. Like, I remember when I was married, some people coming over to our house for dinner and me sneaking upstairs to the bedroom because I just couldn't deal with talking to people.
Oh my God. Every party we've ever had, I'd leave. I don't think I've ever told anyone this. Every party, and we used to have tons and tons of parties, and even pre-pandemic, we still had a bunch of parties, not the same kind, but I always leave. I always have to leave the party, like either a walk around the block, sit when we lived in Brooklyn, sit on the stoop. That's why smoking was so great, because smoking was that built-in break. And maybe you would have a smaller group outside, or you'd have one person. It was much more manageable. I always leave the party, and I leave the party happily. When it's my party, often I leave that party happily, like knowing that the party's going well and feeling really like, oh, great. I'm so glad those people are having a good time in my house.
Yes. And it's a weird thing. It's like, okay, can I stop it now? Can I take the record off the needle off the record now? Like, yes. Everybody go home.
Yes,
like,
go home.
This was fun, but go now.
Go
but
home.
Do you remember we once went, I think we've even discussed this, but maybe not on the podcast. At my 40th birthday party, which was held when I was 41.
Yes.
I believe, and it was being thrown by a friend who lived across the street from me at the time. And I believe you and I actually left the building and went across the street with someone else.
We did leave the building. That house was all white, and there was a black ceramic rat. The whole house was white and black. And there was a black ceramic rat under glass, maybe? I might be making this up.
You're not. I'm sure it was a, like, Ted Muehling, like, what is that material called? This Nuremberg porcelain. That's what it was.
It was a very, very fancy fucking house. And I was like, I remember I was wearing a different colored metallic striped lamé wrap dress.
Oh my God.
That I loved so much, that was vintage and it was long. And Alex, my husband, hated that dress. He was just like, I don't understand this fucking dress. And I was wearing that. And I had just started at Lucky the second time. So I was on as an editor.
Yeah.
And it was your party. And we both, did we go get a drink across the street?
No, we just went across the street to my apartment.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because you lived across the street. We just had to leave. That was it.
We had to leave. I always have to leave any party that I throw. And it's been a while since I've thrown a big party. But there is always a moment when I just have to flee. But I want to talk to you about something else, which is that I was thinking about you this morning, because I was thinking, when we get on, you know, listeners may not know that we see each other on video when we're recording. And I'm like, every day when we record, Romolini's wearing something kind of bright and happy and cute. And every day when we record, I wear like probably the same button down. And I feel like I'm in a real fucking rut with my dressing. And then also one of my commenters said yesterday, where's the comment? I'm going to have to find it for you. I did a post on, I don't know. It was on lightweight quilted jackets. So a bunch of like lightweight puffers.
I liked that. I liked that post. I saw it and I liked it.
She said, this commenter said, it would be nice to see a couple of non-boxy options for jackets. Non-boxy shirts would also be nice to see on occasion. And then 9 people liked that comment. And it's like, I can't fucking help it, guys. I'm 57 years old. I found a look. It works. I'm sticking with it. It's all I'm going to show you on this goddamn blog. And if you want to see something else, I would suggest you go elsewhere, because I am fucking Rain Man. That's all I'm going to show you.
I mean, yeah, you're in a loop. I will tell you that I have been buying, I have found two, one is Spanish and one is Portuguese. I found two new brands where I am buying a lot of bright colors from. I mean, I don't know if you're interested and I don't know.
No, I do want to know. Of course I want to know.
So I think one of them is called Colorful Standard is one of them. And they have like a lot of, just basics, like really cute basics, like beanies. And they have like wool, like long sleeve t-shirts, but they're like a lightweight wool. Cause I'm also like buying a bunch of like cold weather stuff for this upcoming trip I'm taking, which I don't want to be secretive about, but I kind of do want to be secretive about. Anyway, so I bought like a bunch of from them. And then there's something called like, let me see. It's called like Little Sister or something. It's not called Little Sister, but there's another brand that's actually a children's clothing brand, but they also sell adult clothes.
Because they probably do matchy matchy.
Yeah, they do.
Do you remember Greeky? Do you remember when there was Greek Lucky?
Yes. Oh my God.
And in almost every issue of Greek Lucky, they yes. had a matching mommy and children outfits fashion story. Like it's just a huge thing some places.
Yes. Well, there's also this brand called Tiny Cottons, which I bought a really cute, I'm really liking the sort of wide weave sweaters, you know, it's like that. It's a little bit of a thicker or like a wider weave, basically. So I bought a little red cardigan from them, and from Colorful Standard, I bought four beanies, but I'm probably going to return two. I just want to figure out what color I want. I bought a red one, a yellow one, a blue one, and an orange one. And I want to figure out which color. But I do like to dress colorfully.
You dress colorfully and you do it really well. Like Andrea Lynette and I were talking about how you dress the other day. And we were talking about how like women get zany when they get older, and that you like, you've really towed the line well. Like you can wear a white jumpsuit with faces painted all over it and not look zany, which is a real accomplishment.
Well, speaking of commenters, somebody commented and said that I was being judgy, that we were having this episode about how we were not cool, but then I was being judgy because I said that I thought that hot pink pigtails was taking it too far. And that we should all just be able to wear whatever we want. And that if we don't care about being cool, then why would we care about being zany? Why would we care? And I do think for me, and I want to say this sort of as a blanket thing on the podcast, I don't care what anybody else does. I really could give a fuck. That is one of the joys of age, where I can see somebody who looks like a clown on the street and be like, great, that person looks like a clown. Mm-hmm. For me, there is a line of spectacle that I try to set for myself and that I don't want to cross. And I push up against it, but I don't want to cross it because the way my self-presentation, what I aspire to in self-presentation, is not to look in a way that I deem clownish. It's for me a line. It's just a line for me in my personal style.
And now let's take a quick break for some ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And we're back. Here's the thing. The way the world absorbs you as you get older is so complicated. Like, what is it? Grace and Frankie? Is that the show? Grace
with Lily Tomlin. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Fonda.
And yeah. They realize that they're invisible, so they steal a pack of cigarettes.
Yes, I saw that episode. I have not seen much of that show, but I did see that episode.
They were like, well, nobody's looking at us anyway. Let's just fucking steal these cigarettes.
No, that was hilarious.
And you start to, it starts to change. Or even like somebody will be talking to like a younger man at like the Apple store and you'll see him treat you like with respect, like you're a mom in a way that you're not having like a normal conversation with him. He's treating you cordially because you're
He's
a lady.
Treating you with respect because you're an elder too.
You're an elder. Ma'am, here yes. You are. You're getting treated with extra respect.
Oh my God, I get so happy on the rare occasions I am called Miss anymore.
I know, but so many times it's like actually condescending. It's actually like, yeah. Like they're like doing it as a bit and you're like, oh, fuck off. I don't need your bit.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I remember once reading something about the country of France and how in the country of France, everybody moves through the world as though they are somebody's sex object. And like yes. even the old couples, everybody, the teenagers. And I thought a lot about that because I thought, you know, does it really matter if the world doesn't see me? I mean, we've talked about this. If I've yes. got somebody who sees me, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's just a shift. It's just a shift. And you know what I really think? So I'm closer to 49 than I am to 48 at this point. And I really think that your 40s are unbelievably transformative in terms of aging. Like, I don't feel like when I was 30 to 40, I looked that much different. I feel like I kind of looked around the same for about 15 years, you know, yeah. Maybe a couple more wrinkles, maybe whatever, but not. The difference between what you look like, what you feel like, how the world perceives you, everything at 40 versus what I imagine is going to happen in about less than a year and a half. It's a huge divide. And I don't know if that's the same in your 50s, if the way you start out at 50 is very different than 60, but the 40s, I mean, and even the way women talk about themselves who are 42 versus the way women talk about themselves in their late 40s, it's just, you're in a whole different land, like post 45 than you were 40 to 45.
I'm trying to decide I think the only thing that I disagree with is the ages.
Maybe, and maybe I'm wrong. I just feel totally different in nine years. In 9 years, I feel completely the most different than I've ever felt. And I would even narrow it down more. I would say from about 43 to now, the last five, six years, I feel like a totally different person.
I think the change for me, I mean, I think there were two changes. The first change was when I was in my early 40s and I was recently divorced, and suddenly everybody I knew who didn't have kids had kids. Everybody I knew who wasn't married was married. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm in a totally different place and I'm totally out of step with all my peers. And that's it. But I looked pretty much the same. I looked pretty young. And then in recent years, the change that's come about as a result of my physical appearance has been tougher and realer, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I just want to have some acceptance. And I think I actually have done a decent job of having some acceptance and realizing that, you know, when I was young and beautiful, you know, I wish I had enjoyed it more. I wish I had owned it more. I wish I had been sexier. I wish I had been more comfortable with my sexuality in those years, but I am now, you know? Yeah. And so I'm grateful for that. And if like 25-year-old me didn't know how to own what I had, then that's just pretty par for the course for a 25-year-old.
Yeah, totally. And I want to be clear that I'm not interested in going back. I'm not interested in going back. I just feel very ill-defined right now. I don't really know who I am at this age yet. I haven't settled into midlife yet. It's just really in the last, 6 months to a year that it started to really be like, oh, okay, this is really different. I feel different, right?
Well, because midlife chooses you, right?
What do you mean by that? Tell me more.
Like, your body starts to change. Your looks start to change. All sorts of shit you're not in control of starts to happen to you. It chooses you. So all you can do is come back at it with something that's graceful or self-loving or replenishing.
Totally. And it's interesting because one thing that's in parallel with puberty that I can see in menopause, because Charlotte and I are basically there in puberty and I'm here. And the other day we were talking about Halloween and we were talking about Christmas and we were talking about holidays, and I don't know if I've said this on the podcast. I don't think I have yet. Charlotte said, I don't feel as excited as I used to feel about the things I used to feel excited about. And I feel sad. And they said, I feel sad about this. I feel really sad. And I said, it's okay to feel sad and whatever, you do that. But that is a very real thing that I am also going through. I don't feel as excited about the things that I used to feel excited about. And like Charlotte, who soon will be excited about being in love and music and all the things that you're excited about when you're a teenager, right? They're not there yet. They're 11 and they're not in that, next stage of life. I similarly feel I don't know yet who I am going to be as a middle-aged woman. I don't know what's going to excite me yet. I don't know what I'm really interested in yet. I know what I'm not interested in, what's not delighting me in the same way. Going out and getting drunk, no fucking desire. Used to be a great thing. Like, oh, let's, even when it was like moms are going wild, it was like fun. I don't care anymore. Right. Because even in the drunk, I can feel myself, oh, I just said something that I didn't really mean. Yeah. Like I don't want to be that anymore. So I don't know what the next thing is, or is there no next thing? I mean, that's what Charlotte's grappling with. Is there no next thing? I know there's something for them.
Well, there's always something next.
Right.
There's always something next. And the thought of that is the thing that has gotten me like close to out of some of my worst depressions and other difficult situations, just knowing that a whole shitload of things comes next. And don't you feel like you're just going to kind of become who you are?
Yeah, I am. And that's, but I just have to get through this like mucky, muddy middle, I just have to like get through this.
But what if it's all just mucky and muddy now?
No, I know. Okay. That's the thing. Is it that I just need to accept that everything is mucky and muddy now? And this is it. This is just the march till the end. And there might be some delightful moments like, oh, you see a butterfly.
My God, you have to stop now, because I know you. You are a liker of fun. You are a liker of experiences. And this whole idea that like, is that all there is? It's just utter bullshit.
You think it's utter bullshit? Because what is fun? What's fun? Well, tell me what's fun.
Right now, like yesterday, I walked the dog to the park. That was fun.
Okay. All right.
I think sex is reliably fun.
Okay. Fair enough.
I like cooking. I love driving and listening to music. That makes me really happy. None of these are like, life altering. They just are the things that like, I still think are fun. But I do remember being in my mid-40s, and you remember the sports car I had, that Audi convertible.
Yes, yes.
When I was the editor of Lucky. And I remembered I used to drive around in that car really fast and listen to music and fantasize about like the life I wanted to be living.
Right.
And I realized at a certain point, like, this is lame. This is really lame, driving around listening to this music, fantasizing about, like, you know, life as you want it to be. This isn't what somebody this age does. Somebody this age, like, takes a look around and acknowledges the life they have. And I thought that was a very important realization. But because I'm a Pisces, Pisces are always fantasizing.
Right.
But also, it was really hard for me. It was one of the few times that I really felt like, ugh, in the gut, I'm old.
Yes.
You know, and now I see that I was young. I was like 41, 42, 43, you know? I don't know.
No, I know. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. And that's why it's like, well, it's part of the isolation, part of the lack of perspective. And I can see like that is veering toward like ridiculous and maudlin. But like, I don't know. I'm hoping that, like, you know, I'm hitting like the bottom of the U curve, that middle-aged U curve. And I'm like getting to the bottom of it, whatever this is, or I'm getting somewhere, but God forbid, I don't want anything worse. I don't want anything bad, actually bad to happen. This is just all my psyche. And there's no like actual like emergencies, thank God, or any, you know, tragedies. But I'm hoping that just sort of generally in life and the way I feel about getting older and everything, that I've sort of hit this place, and now it's sort of, it goes in another place. It goes another place. Cause I think accepting that, like, oh, I'm never going to be the thing I used to be. I don't feel like I used to feel. I don't even like a lot of the same people I used to like. Like, that also starts to happen.
Well, that's a whole thing. And like, you know, I have friends who are close friends of mine, but who I know I would not be friends with if I met today. But they're really important to me. And I think that even if somebody isn't like you anymore, even if somebody doesn't share what they used to share with you, what you do share is history. And that's really important.
Yeah.
But, no. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, there are things about like, okay, so, huh, this is my friend group. Okay. You know, and that's a super hard thing to change when you're in your 40s or 50s. Not impossible, but super hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just like the friendship is just like nothing's hitting the same way, you know?
Well, because friendships are more passionate when you're young.
Yeah.
Although I'm thinking now of my mom's two very close friends, Anne and Gay. Mm-hmm. Gay's grandson, about 15 or 20 years ago, died in a boating accident. He was about 7 years old. And we all went up to the funeral, which was upstate. And as the baby child, not a baby, as the seven-year-old was being like lowered into the grave, Anne and my mom and Gay were all just holding each other and wailing. And I thought, like, that, I hope I have that when I hope something horrible like this doesn't happen. But it was the most beautiful portrait of, like, these older women who were just 1,000% there for each other and had been for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I'm not complaining about my friends. I have incredible friends. Part of this is about how I'm showing up. And part of this is just perspective. And I don't want to goddamn listen to this episode and be like, God, you're such a whiny pain in the ass. But there, you know, there are some real things that I think come up in this age that we're starting to talk about more. But even the framing of the way we talk about them is like, you know, you're a warrior, you're a this, you know, you're a badass. I don't feel like a fucking badass. I feel kind of fragile and like unwieldy. Like, what is this amorphous? What am I? You know?
I totally get that. Like, I feel like, and this may sound kind of obnoxious to say, but I feel like people will think like, oh, Kim France, she did Sassy. I mean, she was a Sassy. She did Lucky. Like, she's a badass.
Right. Right.
But I'm all over the fucking place. I'm all over the fucking place. And maybe part of what I am is, but, you know, it coexists in a, like a, in a terrarium with many other qualities.
No, I think that the bottom line of all this is that also there's like a narcissism that's happening. That's a necessary narcissism when you write a memoir, which is just disgusting. And I'm just like, I just want to get through this to the other side so I can stop being so in my head, because I think this is actually at this stage of life is kind of a dangerous place to be.
I agree. And one of my smartest friends at a period when I was feeling like you were now, was like, you have to fucking knit. You have to knit, or you have to run, or you have to just do something that takes you out of your head, but you that you find satisfying.
Did you knit?
I didn't knit, no. I mean, there is, right down the street from me, there's a really cool ceramic studio that when I moved in, I thought, oh, I will take classes at that ceramic studio. This is exactly what Margaret was talking about all those years ago. But right. I haven't done that yet.
I have, if I were there, I would take it with you, because I have dreams of making misshapen ceramics. I really do have like fantasies of what, I mean, it's just that I know I'm not going to be Seth Rogen. I know I'm just going to make the.
It's just a matter of time before one of us brought up Seth Rogen.
Who got hot.
He got hot, but even before he was hot, I had a bit of a crush on.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems like he would be like a really, really like generous boyfriend, husband, just like nice, funny, easygoing, just an easy person to know, but now is also additionally hot.
And he's additionally hot, yes. He just, no, Seth Rogen is, I like Seth Rogen. Surprises me. Surprising crushes.
Have you thought about, we were going to do this thing called Midlife Movie Fail, was going to be a new segment of the show.
No, I think it should be a new, I think we should do it as a Patreon.
Okay. Okay. Then we will do it as a Patreon. We're going to start doing a new Patreon feature called Midlife Movie Fail, where we go back and we watch old movies or new movies that are misrepresenting what it is to be middle-aged. I had a couple, what were they? Living Out Loud. Was that the one?
It's Queenly.
I was going to do the Tuscan Sun.
Under
was
the
yours.
Tuscan Sun.
Death Becomes Her, First Wives.
Oh, wait, what was the one? What was the one Meryl Streep plays? It's based on a Faye Weldon book. Death, not Death Becomes Her. Oh fuck! This is gonna. We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes. But yes, and if you want, listeners, you can. We'll pick one a month, and listeners, you can watch along with us, and then we're gonna do a wrap up of them on our Patreon. Because really. The fucking thing is, maudlin or not, narcissistic or not, no one really prepped me for this appropriately. I don't feel like any of these shitty movies told me like, yeah, perimenopause is going to make you more depressed than you've ever been in your life.
No.
Didn't know.
No, no, no. And at the same time, I mean, I'm thinking about First Wives Club, which will be our first movie.
Yes.
And how, I mean, I know I'm ruining it by talking about it right now, but like Stalker Channing, who is radiant at the beginning of the movie, kills herself because she's 45 and single.
Yeah.
She kills herself because she's 45 and single. I mean, who? That's what we are.
Oh, the whole movie is, wait, we can't preview this, but the whole movie is just like, oh, I'm 47. The world doesn't want me anymore. Like the whole fucking movie. It's a whole thing.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I will say one more thing, and then we will devote an episode to this because I have lots to say. But I have not felt style inspiration in a long time as much as I felt from Goldie Hawn in First Wives Club.
That's awesome.
I was like, I want everything. I want everything she's wearing. She's pulling off like sexy. Remember we talked about what is sexy as you get older? I'm like, that's it right there. Sexy 80s or whatever that movie came out, late, early 90s.
That's interesting. I do think a lot about like how one successfully dresses sexy now. It's hard to figure out
because it's like, I don't want tits out. I'm not, it's not cleavage. Is it cleavage?
I think that like tasteful cleavage, but if you do cleavage, you can't do everything else. You can't be like Blake Lively, who's like cleavage, legs, hips, like she accentuates every single thing.
If I had Blake Lively's body, I mean, I don't.
I know, I mean, Blake Lively,
good for her, man. Show it all off. No, I don't know if it's cleavage. I've never been a cleavage person. I know there are cleavage people and I love them. I'm so happy for them and their cleavage, but it's never been me.
I can't stop staring at people's tits when they're cleavage people. Like I cannot stop looking at it. And I think it's because so few people do it anymore. Like it used to be a thing and now it's not as much of a thing. But I met a friend of Paul's and I was like, I'm just going to stare at your tits the whole time.
I mean, look, if someone's doing a really nice pillowy breast cleavage, there's like nothing, there's nothing like it. My God, you're right. People don't do cleavage anymore. Just like people, remember when buns were a thing, like hot, like men's buns? Do you remember this in the 80s? Like it was like, you don't remember this? I've made this
buns
up.
Like asses?
Like asses. Like buns. Like a bun. I feel like we said the word buns, like hot buns.
We did.
I don't feel like we're looking at buns like that we used to. I don't feel like it's as
much. I want you to stop saying the word buns.
I know, it's so horrible.
Oh my God. No, I feel like British people still do cleavage.
Maybe.
I feel like I see British women with like a rack.
I feel like Dame Helen Mirren often does cleavage. Yes.
And Tina Brown, she used to do some cleavage, I believe.
Did she?
Maybe I'm wrong. You worked for her, so you wouldn't know.
I did work for her. She used to let papers fall behind her when she walked. She was so scatterbrained. It was really strange working for her. That was a very unique experience because also Harvey Weinstein would come in just as the animal that he was, and he would just have crumbs all over his sweatshirt. He would be eating with just like crumbs puddled at his chest.
I've heard. I was friendly with someone who was a producer when Miramax existed, and she told me stories about Bob and
Harvey.
She told me stories about Bob and Harvey that involved like them carrying food around in their pockets.
Yeah, I worked for Talk, which was like this very strange like vanity project. It was the strangest place to work. It was because I was a fact checker there, and everything had to be sexy. We have to make this sexy. Everything has to be politics are sexy. Everything's sexy. I don't know if I've ever said this, but I was fact checking a story on Dan Rather, and it was like really late and it was closing really late. And like the editor had added a bunch of things in, and I was like, these aren't true things about Dan Rather. And the editor was like, well, we have to make him sexy. And I'm like, you're not making this fucking 80-year-old sexy. I'm sorry.
I remember hearing, and then we probably shouldn't shit talk her anymore, but I remember hearing that Tina Brown used to require her editors to turn in a short, medium length, and lengthy length of any article so she could decide which version she wanted to publish.
I think that's probably true. I think Tina Brown was and is an editorial genius. I think that she was really, really smart about what was in the zeitgeist and just picking it up, right? And just like sniffing it out. I think that she was also of a time when you were allowed to be monstrous.
Yeah. I once heard a story about her from a driver that was very poignant. Because I found some papers in the back seat of the car, and I could tell they were Tina Brown's notes from her publicist or whoever before she gave a TV interview.
Okay, yeah, like her talking
and it was all
points.
Like highly confidential shit that you wouldn't want out. And I gave it to the driver, and I said, "So do you drive her often?" He said, "Yes, I drive her every once in a while. Every time I drive her, she's in the back seat crying."
Oh God. God.
I know that made me feel differently about her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does. Still no excuse to treat people like shit, still no excuse to treat people like shit. That's just what we're learning more and more. Someone was defending some monster boss, some like Gen X woman was defending a monster boss, and she was defending them with like a book about ambition that came out in 2003. And I was going to like tweet at this person and be like, no, it's still not okay to treat people poorly, even if it was harder for us to be, you're a genius, even if it was harder for us to lead, even if it was, there were fewer of us in leadership positions and we were mimicking what we saw alpha men doing as leaders, it's still not okay. And also this book is dated and we all need to get into the modern times if we want to be in modern times workplaces.
Yep.
But then I was like, fuck it. And then I just subtweeted. Then I just sent a shitty subtweet, which got a lot of likes. So
I think, you know what? You didn't know what we were going to talk about, but I think we made a good episode.
I hope so. I'm really sorry to listeners for being such a whiny pain in the ass. It's just where I'm at right now, but at least I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it.
You're a very self-aware, whiny pain in the ass in a way that many of us are whiny pain in the asses. I'm a whiny pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're highly, highly lovable.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. That's the thing. That's the thing. That means a lot to me. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for doing this podcast with me every week. And thank you for listening to Everything Is Fine.
Wow.
We are your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, rate and review it on the platforms. It really makes a difference. If you don't like it, you know, you could keep those words to yourself. If you want to email us, our email is everythingisfinethepodcast@gmail.com. We're on Instagram at EIF Podcast. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And you can find Kim on her blog, girlsofacertainage.com. And last, if you want to join our Patreon, we are patreon.com/everythingisfine, and you will find more of this on there.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.